What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or YouTube, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate your attention. We know you have a lot of choices out there, and we love to get weird, and we invite you to come and get weird with us. So we can't do the show without the amazing support of our sponsors. We've got some good ones too. C60 Purple Power is relatively new. They're building this this formula that is fantastic. It's a liquid, liquid oil-based. You just take one spoonful in the morning. I've been giving it to my cat. This is known as a free radical scavenger. The C60 is a carbon-60 molecule that it looks like a hollow soccer ball that goes around your body searching for free radicals to neutralize them, reset itself again and again. This substance was theorized back in the 60s by Buckminster Fuller. It was later discovered in the late 80s by a group of scientists that won the Nobel Prize for it. So it's important. It's clearly an important piece of scientific work here. And Ken Schwartz has been on the show to explain how it all works. I encourage you to take a look at that interview if you want to get more details on it, or go to c60purplepower.com and take a look. Promo code is macro there. See if it works for you. The product has not been approved by the FDA, which I don't think really matter. It doesn't matter to me. I've been taking it every morning for the last 3 months and I feel great. So I'm not too hung up on that, but out of legality, we have to sort of disclose that. So go to c60purplepower.com, check it out, see if it's right for you. Use the promo code macro, save yourself some money. And also if you've gone through 2020 and the insanity that we saw there with supply chain shortages and the freakouts in grocery stores and things like that, you might want to prepare. We all owe those preppers an apology. So go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That is set up for us by My Patriot Supply. They've been phenomenal for the show. Get yourself some emergency food products, cooking utensils, and things like that, just in case. I mean, look, if anything, the last year taught us to be prepared. Just in case you like these episodes, you're interested in these weird topics that we tackle, well, take the additional step of then preparing for what we know is coming and do yourself that favor so that you won't be caught off guard. So that's preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Save yourself $100 on a 4-week supply of food and you'll get free shipping within the continental United States. So we thank them for their support. Well, as I've been doing this show over the last year plus, a lot of the guests I've had on have had a common theme, people that I have met at an Acapulco. And I think I talk about this magical place in Acapulco, Mexico, that once a year, all the strange conspiracy theorists and cryptocurrency hodlers and anti-establishment, anti-state people and unschoolers and all us weirdos get together in this beautiful location to talk about some really important things. And I was sitting with Tim Pachote, who's been on the show before from Liberty Advisors, and he said, you got to come with me and catch this presentation because it's going to be a good one. So I said, well, who are we watching? Well, I'll tell you who we're watching. We're watching Etienne de la Boetie Squared give a presentation that just burned the house down. So we're so happy to have you with us. What's going on, man? It's really good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you. And yes, this is, I've only missed two in Acapulco, this one and I think 2017. It's some of the best folks in the world getting together in one of the most beautiful places in the world. But, you know, just to give your audience a little bit of overview of who I am and what I was talking about there, yes. I am a voluntarist author. I'm the author of a book called Government, the Biggest Scam in History. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am an organized crime researcher. And my thesis is that government was never intended to protect life, liberty, and property. It's always been designed to rob and control society. And the subtitle of the book is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government and the Media. And I, in my day job, I'm a consultant for Fortune 500 companies on how to learn at the speed of light. Do a lot with visual collaboration and telepresence and video conferencing and interactive whiteboards and things like that. And so I understand how people learn. And so I designed the book to be impactful to the 65% of people that are visual learners. And really, if you've ever tried to explain to your friends or your relatives, you know, how this organized crime system works and just weren't having very much success, well, then, you know, I designed the book to be able to take somebody from zero to 60. And really, really understand the illegitimacy of government and, you know, the monopolization of the media by using, you know, media ownership charts and organizational charts that show how this, you know, essentially the entire media has been consolidated into these six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the idea that there's all these different, you know, information sources out there. But this is an organized crime system. These six companies are operating as a cartel. It's deception and distraction on every screen. And the big secret they're hiding from society is, number one, that government is, you know, completely illegitimate on its face. If I don't have the ability to rob you and make up rules for you myself, then I can't delegate rights. I don't have myself to a representative to represent me doing something I don't have the ability to do myself. Nobody can be bound by a social contract that they didn't sign. And if democracy doesn't, you know, which I like to call two wolves and a sheep, you know, deciding what's for dinner. Well, if me and my friend can't vote to rob Charlie, then it doesn't matter if there's three of us or 250 million of us. You know, no additional person is going to make something that was immoral now moral just because the mob wants to lynch black people or, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, it doesn't really matter. And so government has been a scam. And finally, we're starting to overpower the monopoly media system with podcasts and vlogs. And this is why we're being censored. And so it's the biggest scam in history. And we're exposing it with this book that takes people from zero to 60 in the shortest amount of time.
It is one of my favorite books. I'm going to put the link in the description. I encourage people to buy it. we're going to talk about a variety of things, including the book. We're going to, and for those just listening on audio, there's going to be a visual component to this. If you can find your way over to Odyssey or Rockfin or Iconic or YouTube to take a look at the visual. But the thing about the book that stands out, as you mentioned, is that when you just open it up and flip through it, as opposed to my books, which are just word salad, this is very visual, visually engaging. You understand it. You'll see, you do a great job with the use of memes and mimetic technology in there to really get you thinking about things in a different way. And that's why it's so effective, because whether it's we're sharing memes on social media or whether you're including them in this book, there's something about that just boils down an idea to a quick little a picture that gets in your head real fast and kind of proves a point. And when I saw the book, after I heard your presentation, which by the way, you did barefoot, which I thought was rock star-ish, the airlines lost your luggage or something. but it was after you got off the stage, I was like, this is actually, you know what I thought? I thought this is how I should have done my book. Because it was so impactful. I was able to just flip through it for a little while and just take, just read it. And then of course I've got it with me here. So I think for people, especially for people that maybe you understand this stuff fairly well, but there's somebody in your life that is a little unsure, or maybe thinks you're a conspiracy theorist, or maybe thinks you're a little you know what? This is a good book for you to send to them, because it will really open them up. It's engaging visually, but it'll get the point across. I think that's kind of the plan. If you can just keep people hanging in there a little while longer, just to get the message, you know that it'll sink in. You know that there's one thing that someone will go, oh, yes, I never thought of it that way. And then if this is a lie, you know, what else is a lie? And you start to go down this path. So I love the book is like if you took all your favorite people on Twitter and all of the memes that they posted and all the really good insights and condensed them down into a book that you could just visually flip through. It's literally a coffee table book. I mean, this is a book you could just set up on your of course you'll get funny looks, but I don't mind that. It's not too long for those. It's 126 pages or so. Really well laid out, really interesting. So let's get into a little bit about this. I mean, how did you even from your stuffy corporate day job, let's just say, to get into this more of a, I mean, where we are on the fringes of the media here? We think we're doing important work. Of course, we are doing important work, but it is the fringes of what is considered to be media these days. How did you find yourself getting into this area of interest?
So I'll tell you this. So I used to work at one of the big four think tanks in my youth. And I was a researcher there, and I had access to a $3,000 a month LexisNexis terminal. And for those that aren't familiar with LexisNexis, every single news article in the world, every transcript of the major news programs, transcripts of important interviews, you know, from newspapers around the world, alternative news, you know, mainstream news, like you name it. And in 1996. I realized that the story that was coming out of Oklahoma City from the major media, there was a bombing. They blew up supposedly Tim McVeigh drove a Ryder truck up to a federal building in Oklahoma City and detonated a bomb in front of a daycare center there. And I realized that the story that was coming out of Oklahoma City from the mainstream media was very, very different than the story that was coming out of the local media and the alternative media, and that the mainstream media was hiding really, really important pieces of information, such as all of the bomb damage was blown across the street versus the official story of the Ryder truck was in front of the building. And the bomb would have blown all of the debris into the building. And so something went off inside the building to throw the debris across the street, violating the laws of physics with respect to, you know, just like the bomb damage. And it wasn't just me. There was an Air Force general, General Benton K. Parton, P-A-R-T-I-N, who actually ran the Air Force's armament testing laboratory, and he blew up, you know, buildings for a living. And he's like, no, this is not true. This isn't, an ANFO bomb did not do this damage. And he produced a, you know, a 60-page, I think it was like a 60-page report that you can get on our companion flash drive that backs up all of the evidence in the book that we call The Liberator. You could actually get his report and you can take a look at it, where he broke down the science and just showed pictures of the building showing where there was Boussant damage, where there had obviously been, you know, charges that were inside this secure federal building, okay, where you can see that, you know, they shattered columns, you know, things that would have been absolutely impossible with the ammonia nitrate fuel oil explosive official story. And so there are other, you know, people, the Sam Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb, also came out and said that he didn't believe the official story and that this wasn't an info bomb. And so the mainstream media is hiding these important facts. And it was also the first time that I'd ever watched something go down the memory hole. And so right after, you know, during the live, and during the, you know, when everything was live, before they had editorial control over the story from New York and Washington, D.C. and Langley, you know, they were showing press conferences and spokesmen of people talking about the fact that they found multiple bombs in the building. The governor of Oklahoma was reporting that they'd found multiple bombs in the building that would have been consistent with the story of, you know, that Benton K. Parton and Sam Cohen and their speculation on this. And then boom, the next day it's gone. It just never happened. We're just never going to talk about the fact that other bombs were found in the building. You could watch the Oklahoma City bomb squad bring their, you know, bomb truck up to the building, remove the devices. But it just went down the memory hole. I'm like going, oh wow. And so I began using my $3,000 a month LexisNexis terminal and all of the resources that we had at our disposal of working at one of the big four think tanks, and very quickly realized that the government, the ATF, and the FBI were the number one suspects in blowing up a federal, you know, a daycare center full of children in a federal building to tar the militia movement that was growing rapidly after the ATF and the FBI murdered 80 men, women, and children in Waco, and then covered it up with the help of the mainstream media again. And so after Waco happened, all of a sudden people were going, oh my God, the ATF and they just burned down a church and murdered 80 men, women, and children, machine gunned them as they were leaving the burning building, which you can see on the FLIR project and Waco terms of, Waco, I forget the name of the documentary, but you can actually see FLIR tape from the FBI's own plane showing that they were mowing down people that were leaving this burning church. And so a militia, you know, a citizens militia, constitutional militia unit, you know, began forming all over the country. And so they had to make this go away. And so I think they took a supposedly ex-special forces sheep dipped, yep, you know, ex-special forces guy named Tim McVeigh. They, you know, had him go to some white supremacist, you know, events to create the legend that he was a, you know, a white supremacist. And then they just tarred the entire militia movement with the brush that the militia is about, you know, isn't, you know, good people exercising their Second Amendment and their constitutional rights, that they're white supremacist baby killers. And all of the research that I did was eventually backed up by the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, which was, you know, a citizens group in Oklahoma City on the ground, led by a state rep named Charles Key, that came to the exact same conclusions that I did. And then the whole thing was documented in the award-winning documentary, A Noble Lie, which you can go, anybody can go see. I think it's even still on YouTube, you know, or it's definitely on BitChute or other platforms. And so once you discover that the federal government is blowing up daycare centers and is burning down churches, you start paying attention at a level that most people that did not, you know, have the resources at their disposal that I did, you know. So I started paying attention at this and just beginning collecting the evidence of government criminality and media criminality and media deception and the monopolization of the media. And then I wrote the book partially for my kids so that they understand the way the system works. But really, I wrote it. Because what I realized is if we're going to win the whole thing, you've got to be able to wake people up to what's really, really going on. And so, as somebody that you know consults for Fortune 500 companies on how to learn at the speed of light, you know, I put on my my productivity hat, and I realized it has to be a picture book, enlarges the number of people that will engage with any book from kind of 10 to 15 to, you know, 35 to 50% plus. Mm-hmm. You know, once you pick it up, you just can't put it down. A lot of people aren't readers. So you have to, you know, you have to appeal to that segment of society that, you know, unfortunately has been dumbed down by the government's indoctrination program and school system not to, you know, be able to read anymore. You have to use visualization to make what was invisible visible. And then finally, human beings are really, really good pattern recognition machines. And so in the book, whether it's exposing that the United States is using the exact same techniques as the Nazis, the Soviets, the East Germans, or you know, that the media is, you know, weaving religious symbolism into their propaganda to make the presidents and the political puppets, you know, seem holy, you know, like yeah. it's, you know, it's the revelation of the method that makes people go, hey, wait a minute. I didn't notice that when those came by one at a time, but they're doing that on purpose. They're trying to run game on me. And you'd be surprised how many people get visually upset when they realize that the media and the government are running game on them. And so what I do is I make it easy to take a friend or relative, a loved one, and get them from 0 to 60. And, you know, they may, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard, you know, like, oh, you're saying the entire media is covering up 9/11, or, oh, how could the entire media be in on COVID? Well, once you see some of these organizational charts and media ownership charts, people go, oh, that's how they could do it. I didn't understand that this was going on, but now that I understand, now they come to that moment of insight. And now all of a sudden it's not a conspiracy theory, it's an organized crime theory. And that's the other thing that I'm somewhat well known for, is popularizing the term organized crime theory, intergenerational organized crime, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm an organized crime researcher. And when you use the term, organized crime instead of deep state or new world order or Illuminati or any of these terms that I believe to be purposefully unhelpful, purposefully undescriptive, you know, my running joke is, you know, the FBI doesn't have a department of doing something about the deep state. But when you say this is intergenerational organized crime, now there's an expectation that they're supposed to look into it and examine this evidence. And so I like on the back of the book, I call them out and I say, I'm sitting here, you know, I've got 16 gigabytes of evidence on a credit card size flash drive backing up the book. I stand ready to, you know, to work with you to understand who these criminal organizations are, how they're looting the country for trillions of dollars, or handing trillions of dollars to private banks, private companies through these bailouts and stimulus. They're, you know, selling the American taxpayer $14,000 toilet seats and $400,000 helmets for the F-35. And they're building $35 million bases in Iraq, where the, you know, three different generals said, we don't want it, we don't need it. And they did it anyway, so somebody could make $35 million and then they just abandon it. Or they supposedly lost $6 billion in physical cash in Iraq. Well, all of a sudden, when you look at it through the lens of organized crime, then, oh, well, it makes perfect sense. Like, it is the key that unlocks everything, and it's the government and the media working together. And so if your friends and your relatives have been getting their news from this monopolized media system, and then they're wondering why the world doesn't make sense, well, all of a sudden, you know, it's deception and distraction on every screen, and then they can come to that moment of insight.
Yeah. Look, this audience and myself in particular, we are no fans of the mainstream media. We know who they are. We know what they're up to. We know that they're part of an agenda. We know that they're taking orders from Atlantic Council and groups above them. We know that it doesn't take too many people to control the narrative. And we also know that, you know, look, if you have a if Anderson Cooper has a Jerry Maguire type breakthrough overnight and decides he's going to blow the whistle on the vaccine agenda the following day, and he goes on CNN and he says, you know, he gives up the goods, the president of Merck will be in Jeff Zucker's office the next morning, yep, threatening to pull $1 billion worth of advertising if he doesn't get his guy under control. So we understand how this works, that this is not, that the media is not independent. They are not actively looking for the truth. They're selling a story. And that story is influenced by a variety of factors. Some of them are advertisers like Big Pharma, for sure. Some of them are groups like the Atlantic Council. Some of them are flat out the CIA. And we know about their relationship with the mainstream media. So it's important, like as you said, and for people to remember that when you turn on your, first of all, don't turn on your nightly news, but in the event that you do, or it's on, just know, just understand that there is, it's not an objective report about what's going on in the world. And the easiest way you can tell that is by what stories they decide to talk about on the nightly news in general. I mean, there's 1,000 stories to pick from. They pick these 12 and talk about it. Why? Why didn't they talk about this guy getting killed, but they did talk about this guy getting killed? You know, it's part of an agenda. Why didn't, how come this story isn't all the headlines? But this other one we've been pushing for, you know, all week long is the lead story, and nobody cares about it. So the media is dirty. They're co-conspirators in just about everything, including this COVID situation. I haven't even got your thoughts on COVID. I'm sure you've got some strong feelings on this, because when it comes to straight up government fuckery, it's hard to beat COVID. I mean, they have incorporated just about every aspect of this. Maybe we could just start there. We've seen constantly changing storylines about what you are supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do, what is a treatment, what isn't a treatment, things that you are allowed to say one week, you're not allowed to say the next week. People that are people that are encouraging, let's just say they're encouraging people to research on their own and maybe dig into some of these statistics being provided to us by the CDC and the FDA and all these institutions. The people that suggest thinking for yourself are banned immediately on social media. They are demonized in mainstream media if they even make it that far, i.e. the doctors that stood on the Capitol steps, and then you have Brian Williams coming out and takes one part and it's demon sperm is the only thing they want to talk about. Meanwhile, these nurses are all saying, look, what they're doing in these hospitals is killing people. So talk about a little bit about how this came about and how you see the merging between some of the worst aspects of our society, corporate mainstream media, government, the pharmaceutical industry, and big tech.
So we can talk about the COVID, but I want to be very careful. So in the book, which has been out for over 2 years, everything is sourced. We hypertext link to the scholarship behind a lot of the claims and a lot of the research. So we just don't tell you that, you know, that the government and the CIA are behind, 800 plus movies, 1,000 plus television shows, where they're product placing the flag and using techniques like anchoring to, build the audience up to a moment of high, exhilaration, and then secretly show you the flag so that you anchor that to this, lovey-dovey feeling. You know, we source all of that. We give the links. We give, the scholarship behind it. And so this is now speculation on my part. So I want to be, open that I can't, there's things I can prove and then there's things that I can't prove. And so this is speculation. My speculation is the COVID was the engineered, manufactured reason for the bailouts. The goal is we're going to hand trillions of dollars to private banks, private companies. We'll give the population chicken feed, but we're going to do another round of bailouts like we did in 2008, where we're going to hand private banks, private companies trillions of dollars. What's the manufactured reason? And they took a future visioning document from the Rockefeller Foundation called Lockstep, that they'd had, you know, on the, you know, back burner since 2010, and they implemented lockstep. They war gamed it out in event 201. But the reason that I think they did it at this time, and again, this is just speculation, is I think that the treasury market was blowing up, that they've been running a dollar Ponzi scheme where they've been providing shell companies, investment companies in the Cayman Islands and in Belgium with unlimited, you know, treasury Fed created dollars to buy the treasury, the notes, the treasury notes, bills, you know, and that system was just about to just explode, and it started exploding in September in the repo market. And in December, January, and February, the Fed began getting caught buying treasuries, not at the auction, which it's forbidden by the Federal Reserve Act to do, but they began buying them one day later from the primary dealers. And so the, you know, the government has to borrow, you know, at, you know, 2 years ago it was over $1.1 trillion. In 2020, before COVID, it was expected to be 25% more than it was the previous year. And I think they got to the point, the end of this dollar Ponzi scheme, where they just weren't able to finance the debt anymore. And so it didn't take them by surprise. They knew that this day was going to come. And so, you know, what is the final play that allows the Fed to now openly participate in the treasury auctions because of this? Who could have foreseen it? See, Charlie, what happened is there was this wet market in Wuhan, China, and there was like a bat, and now there's the whole world has to be locked down and the Fed gets to participate in the treasury market. So it's a bank robbery. We're being robbed. We're being robbed by the bankers using fractional reserve banking, where the Fed backstops the banks to do something that would be illegal and impossible to do, create money out of thin air. You know, so the Fed backstops them to do that. They take their enormous profits. You know, when you go to, you know, for people that aren't familiar with fractional reserve banking, when you go to the, your bank to get a car loan or you go to get a mortgage, that's not depositor money they're lending you. They just go, bing, and they just credit your account with these credits. And even though that's inflationary, so the money center banks are creating more and more and more money. And so then you spend the rest of your life, you know, working to pay off a mortgage that somebody created out of thin air on a computer screen that makes them exorbitant profits at the expense of everybody else. And so the more and more dollars that these Fed-backed banks create, the more the these excess dollars begin competing with each other in the market, bidding up you know, the prices of good, of scarce goods and services. That's why you've got rising prices. It's not that your 401k is going up in value or your house is going up in value. It now takes more rapidly depreciating fiat paper dollars and credits to buy the exact same amount of stocks and housing than it did a couple of years ago. But the media isn't telling you that that's what's going on. If you ask the media why prices are rising, you know, fairies come at night and sprinkle pixie dust on gas pumps and, you know, grocery store aisles, and it just magically goes up. And that system that is making them trillions of dollars, they're, you know, taking the profits. They're buying up the media, consolidating them into six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries on the old media side. Mm-hmm. And then on the new media side, there's about two dozen new media search engine video sharing sites, fact-checking sites. This is CIA, Google, CIA, YouTube, Wikipedia, Reddit, Amazon. Snopes, Discuss, the Comment Engine, Meetup, you know, I could go on and on, Twitter, Fedbook, et cetera. These are companies that I believe have been funded with unlimited capital to consolidate their little corner of the information food chain, where they're now openly, almost every site, as far as I know, every single one of the companies that I just mentioned has been caught censoring on their platform. Yeah. So it's not speculation that they're censoring. It's they've been caught censoring. We've got the evidence in our flash drive of freedom, the Liberator, but we're going to monopolize the media. We're going to control the information you receive, whether we control it through the mandatory government school that we force you to go to, where we teach you that government is legitimate and that you owe us all this money and the elections are fair and there's no, you know, we don't mention, you know, CIA death squads and the Phoenix program in Vietnam. We don't mention CIA drug dealing, et cetera. We just tell you that it's your civic duty to pay your taxes. And we're controlling the information that way. But then we're reinforcing that with this six companies running hundreds of subsidiaries on the old media side, and then 2 to 3 dozen companies, internet companies that have been, you know, funded with unlimited capital, given a head start to algorithmically censor information on the DARPA internet. And the whole game is control of perception. Can we get you to believe you're not a human being, but you're an American, and by what side of this imaginary line that you're born on, that you now owe us money? What an amazing coincidence for them. And so that's what I think is going on with the COVID. It's a bank robbery. They spent billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars through this monopoly media system to steal trillions of dollars through the bailouts and the stimulus.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is fake. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for me when I talk to people that I, you know, good friends of mine that maybe aren't up on this stuff. But they're guys, you know, I know them my whole life, real smart guys. And I'll explain some of this to them and they look at me like, how can it all be a scam? How can it all, you know, how does it all work? And there's this belief that in order for this all be a scam, it's like a gigantic play and everybody knows that it's going on and everybody's playing their role and everybody has the script and nobody left the script out for anybody else to see. It just magically all got buried and they think, well, it's impossible. You know, it's like, how could they fake the moon landing? If 200,000 people were involved, they'd all have to know. And what I remind them is that no, if you know where the pressure points are and you have the right people in key spots and you consolidate year after year until you get down to, you know, Bill Clinton, I think, was one of the most destructive presidents ever. One of the things that he did with deregulating the communications industry, I mean, massive consolidation to go from 50 media companies down to 6, and to have the same thing with the banks. He lifted up the, you know, repealed Glass-Steagall, allowed them to just turn those into casinos. So when you've got massive consolidation in the media, and you've got only a few people that really run the show there, and then you've got rampant fraudulent activity happening in Wall Street and the government allowing that to happen, you know, you might assume that the mainstream media would point their cameras at what's happening on Wall Street, but it's like, no. Yeah. Clearly people that assume that don't understand this mutually parasitic relationship between the government and the mainstream media and how they work in concert with one another to create this perception. They create reality. We get little glimpses of this through like...
Well, they don't create reality. They create culture, and culture is the dominant belief system that it's legitimate that they get to rob us, that the elections aren't rigged, that these are good people. You know, I mean, that's what they're able to create. We're the ones that have our focus on the reality, and we're going, no. Those screens are lying to you. Look at this evidence over here. We've got 16 gigabits, you know, backing up this book, or we've got, you know, these are the authentic voices of the alternative media. And that's why these authentic voices of the alternative media are being censored on this system, on Facebook. They've been kicked out, you know, Facebook, they kicked me off in May of 2018, my Etienne de la Boetie Squared account, They kicked me off in kind of the first wave of censorship. Then they had another wave where they made Alex Jones the poster boy number one, because half the country hates Alex Jones. And they're like, yeah, censor that guy. Yeah, right. Heck yeah, censor it. So the left is like, yeah, shut him up. And then they drove, because I think he's a controlled opposition shill, they drove the, you know, people that were looking for the truth go, oh, he must be the truth, because he's being kicked off of all these different platforms. And so now they push people to this, you know, this shill that makes the truth movement look bad. And then they wait until October, after the mainstream media had already covered, you know, Alex Jones getting, you know, kicked off. And then that's where the Night of Long Knives happened, where they kicked off, I want to say it was like 291 people, 530 plus pages. So they kicked off the Free Thought Project. They kicked off the anti-media that had millions of followers on Facebook. And so then they just, like, one night it's gone. And then the media is like, oh, we already covered, you know, that story. And they can say, oh, we've already covered their, you know, their censorship. And so the, you know, the real massacre happened in October of 2018. The, you know, the staged, this is what the mainstream media is going to cover, you know, happened then. And so when the, you know, when the, and it's across platforms. And so when the Free Thought Project got censored, they got taken down off of FedBook, but they also got a strike against their YouTube channel, and they got their Twitter account deleted on the same day. So yep. They're operating as a cartel. These are supposedly ostensibly independent companies. They're operating as a cartel to widely control perception and hide the truth tellers while magnifying the deception and the distraction.
Yeah, we've had Jason Bassler on too, and he's got, you know, Free Thought Project 4, Free Thought Project 5. You know, I mean, he's like, as long as whenever they take me down, I'm putting a new one up. I'm just going to keep doing it because he's difficult like that, and I love that. You know, I love that stuff. It's not accidental. I think if anyone thought it was some sort of, you know, random or disjointed effort to silence these critics, hopefully hopefully they got the message that when we started to see this coordination, when people were being taken off of multiple platforms on the same day, that is just
including PayPal, including Spotify, including, you know,
MailChimp.
You got it. MailChimp. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. It's clearly coming from on high. Some executive at MailChimp isn't on the phone with some executive at Twitter, you know, plotting this. They're being told, this is what's happened. Yes. This is the list. Get rid of these people. So the question I think that should be asked for people that are witnessing this is, okay, if these people need to be removed, are they doing something dangerous? I've never seen Jason Bassler do anything dangerous. He's not a fan of the police, neither am I. But none of these people are necessarily doing anything dangerous. And on top of that, they're really not talking about things that are too far conspiracy theories. They're conspiracy analysis. We're not theorizing.
It's organized crime theory, yep. And it's organized crime research.
Yep.
And then that takes it to an entire another level. It's more descriptive, it's more accurate, and it doesn't have the moniker of conspiracy theory, which, as you know, is a CIA invented term, yep, to denigrate the researchers that were looking into the Kennedy assassination, the CIA's role in the Kennedy assassination in 63. And so just stick with organized crime, intergenerational organized crime research, and organized crime theory.
Yeah, it's funny because when you say organized crime to somebody, immediately the majority of people will think the mafia. And mm-hmm. The mafia is bad, right? They go around hurting people. Well, really, the mafia, I don't have a huge problem with the mafia, to be honest with you. They tend to, you know, work on their own things, and if you don't mess with them, they typically don't mess with you. But you can see the idea of powerful, wealthy, well-connected people plotting to increase their power, increase their wealth, increase their ability to control people. And when you get the image of the mafia in your head, then you go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. These are dangerous people. We'll just replace mafia with government, because it's still powerful, dangerous people that are looking to control. You know, they might not be looking to just control a particular neighborhood in Manhattan the way the mafia does. These people are looking to control not just our country, but in some cases, even the entire world.
So it's I don't know. I've heard Stephen Molyneux's analogy of the tax farms, but don't think of the different countries as different countries. Think of them as different tax farms where different intergenerational organized crime families are using the exact same playbook to, you know, control perception, control the media, you know, indoctrinate the kids into the religion of statism. And this may be a good idea. And they're all, since they're all running the same playbook, why don't we take people through what that playbook is? Let's and so you know, I'll bring up the book and we'll just go and like, what is, you know, how do you create tax slaves? And so, you know, here's the cover of the book for those of you that are following at home, Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. And there's a picture from 1943 of children doing, of American school kids doing what most people associate as the Nazi salute, which is actually the Nazis didn't get it from Adolf Hitler. They got it from us. It was called the Bellamy Salute, and it was done in American classrooms from 1892 on until we switched to the hand over the heart in 1943.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it was the product of a well-financed media operation run by Freemasons that got the federal flag into American classrooms where it hadn't been before. They were advocating military socialism and nationalism, and they were getting the robotic chanting of the Pledge of Allegiance, which is the common prayer of statism that we'll go into a second. But most people do not realize that the Nazi salute is our salute because it's the same, you know, program of getting people indoctrinated into a belief system while they're young, forcing them to go to a mandatory government school where before they're old enough to understand what they're pledging their allegiance to and the legitimacy or the morality of government itself, we're going to get them while they're young, we're going to put them into the church school, and we're going to slide them a religion on the sly. The Italian fascists adopted the Bellamy Salute in 1919. The Nazi Party adopted it in 1926. The Nazi Army adopted it in 1944. We switched to the hand over the heart on Army Day in 1943 once it became the crimes of Nazi Germany became apparent. But, you know, the subtitle, How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government and the Media. Now, the first part of the book is I break down 20 different techniques, and I show how those techniques manifested themselves in Nazi Germany, the United States, the Soviet Union, and East Germany. And I pick those three because those are three that everybody goes, well, those are the most evil regimes in history. And so if the United States is using the exact same playbook as the most evil regimes in history, well, then maybe we've been lied to about the legitimacy and the desirability and the necessity of having a government in the first place. And so in the black section, I break down what the technique is. And the first technique is giving the population a flag, which is the artificially indoctrinated holy symbol of an indoctrinated religion called statism, which is the belief in your heart of the necessity, the desirability, and the legitimacy of having a government in the first place. And I mentioned that I'm a voluntarist, and the other thing that we explain in the book is you don't really need a government. Everything the government does, from roads to air traffic control to armed protective services, would better be done by the free market, by mutual aid societies, by real charity. You can't have redistribution. You can't steal money from Peter to pay Paul. That's immoral and shows that you're a bad person. But all the legitimate things that the government does, there's no iron claw lad in the universe that says that you have to have a government, but that's an idea that's never even presented. It's never debated. It's never mentioned in the government's control of perception school system. So the flag is the same as the Christian cross. They're using the techniques of an unethically manipulative religion. Saying Christianity is unethically manipulative, I'm just saying that some branches are using techniques, especially cults and cult creation. And the CIA has done a lot in cult creation. We're going to slide the population a religion. We're not going to call it a religion, but it's going to have all of the tools and the techniques of a religion, starting with the holy symbol. And then anytime you see, blue here, you can actually, click on the link and bring up, scholarship or videos or something like that. But they've been product placing the flag into the 800 plus movies, 1,000 plus television shows that the military and the intelligence agencies are behind that we know of. And in this one video, it shows 469 product placements in just 12 Michael Bay movies, where the video just has the second or two that the flag is on the screen. And then there's like a little counter and it's going ding, 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 ding. And then you realize, holy crap, they're doing that on purpose. And again, it's the revelation of the pattern, pattern recognition human beings. They go, wait a minute, they're running game on me. And then Hollywood propagandists, they're also using a technique called anchoring, where they'll bring an audience to this moment of high exhilaration. And the example that I have and that you can click through and see is Matt Damon escaping Mars in the movie The Martian, where there's this big buildup. Is he going to be able to get off Mars? No, something went wrong. No, he is, boom. And then at that moment of highest exhilaration, they cut to Earth and everybody's waving American flags. And then they cut to Mission Control and there's giant American flags on the backdrop. And this is the reason why the NBA has the American flag on the backboard, so that you subconsciously associate the exhilaration of the goal with the flag. And this is why the NFL has the American flag on the helmets of and the uniforms of the players, where they're forbidden to remove them. And so the first technique is we're going to slide the population a religion. We're not going to call it a religion, but we're going to use all the tools and the techniques. Then there's a social contract that nobody signed, but everybody's expected to be a part of. And then there's the mandatory government school employing the Prussian model of education. Mm-hmm. We're going to take kids, we're going to force them to go to our church schools, where the priest, the teacher, will begin indoctrinating them into the hidden religion of statism, making them do the common prayer of the Pledge of Allegiance, making them sing the hymns of the Star Spangled Banner and before sporting events. And we've got a component of statism, so that's like the statism piece of it. And then there's an obedience component. That's why you've got to raise your hand to go to the bathroom. That's why you walk in single file lines. That's why they use drill bells. That's why they use red, yellow, green troublemaker boards. That's why they begin socializing the police in the school to get you following the commands of the police and government agents through the DARE program and school resource school resource officers. And then there's a debilitation program where we're not going to teach you logic. Oh, we're not going to teach the kids the trivium. We're not going to, we're going to just teach you obedience without teaching you the most critical skills of, can you tell what people are saying to you is true or not, logic and the trivium. We're not going to teach you that. We're only going to slide you this hidden religion. School teachers don't know what's going on. They just come and they get paid to teach whatever's in the book, and they just do that. And they, and it's a hidden curriculum in the school system.
Yeah. Now, we had David Rodriguez on who broke down a lot of the unschooling and the Gatto, what he's doing with the Gatto Institute and things like that. It's fascinating. We all go through these school systems, but for as long as we spent in schools, in these government schools, I don't recall ever really contemplating the authenticity of it all. You know, I just knew it was there and you had to do it, but I never, not until I was well out of college, did I ever examine the sort of educational system and think, well, this is all very weird and kind of broken and not, you know, we, like you mentioned, no logic, no explanation, no education on banking, how it really works, debt, interest, any of that stuff. I mean, if you got that, you got it accidentally, but it certainly, you know, they were preparing you for a very specialized sort of worldview, and it didn't include anything having to do with disapproval of the state. It didn't have anything to do with an understanding of money. It didn't have have anything to do with the way the world really works. It just was. It was more of a training ground to weed out a certain percentage of the population that was going to be unsuited to take on higher education or to take on more important roles. They were going to be funneled into low paying jobs and kept down on that tax farm. And by the way, when you mentioned Stefan Molyneux's piece on the
tax farm analogy,
I quoted his entire statement on that in my Octopus of Global Control book. It is so good. I would encourage people, anyone that has my book already, go through and find the Stefan Molyneux quote about the tax farm. To see the farm is to leave it. I mean, it's just really well done.
Right. Now, the next technique is youth programs to teach citizenship, blind obedience, and state flag worship. And this is, so now we're going to take kids and we're going to give them awards. We're going to give them Cub Scout adventure loops. And we're going to give them Boy Scout merit badges where they hand them a book, Citizenship in the World, Citizenship in the Nation, and then force the kids to learn it and then recite it. And then they give them a cookie without ever, you know, questioning the morality or the logic of, you know, what they're being taught. And I break down, we're going to, you know, start getting them into obedience to hierarchical command and control over conscience and basic morality, pride of uniform. We're going to teach them how to salute the flag, how to fold the flag, how to crest the flag. And, you know, Charlie, when the flag gets old, you can't just throw it away. You've got to bury it because it's a holy object. And you wear gloves when you handle the religious object. And we're going to get the kids, again, we're going to slide them a religion. We're not going to tell them a religion, but we're, you know, using all of the tools and techniques of an unethically manipulative cult. And again, so for those following at home, I'm showing what that program looked like in Nazi Germany, the Hitler Youth. In the Soviet Union, it was called the Young Pioneers. In the East Germany, it was called the Young Pioneers. And so they're all using the same techniques. Now, then it gets creepy. So now as the kids get older in the youth program, now we're going to teach them how to kill. Now we're going to shave their head. Now we're going to segment them away from their friends and their relatives during the summer or for the weekends. We're going to have them go on ride-alongs. And so this is the Explorer program in the United States. This is JROTC, ROTC. Military training does the exact same thing. We're going to segment them away. We're going to use sleep deprivation. We're going to use all these unethically manipulative techniques on them. And we're going to control the information that they receive. In the case of the military, we're going to pay them to be there. But like, you know, we're going to begin chumping them. And so this is the Explorer program. It was called the Komsomol in Soviet Union. It was the Hitler Youth in Nazi Germany. It was the Free German Youth Movement in East Germany. It's a playbook. They're all running the exact same techniques. The next technique is pledges and oaths forced on kids. Thousands and thousands of repetitions are required in the mandatory government schools. Nazis did it. The U.S. did it. The Soviet Union did it. East Germany does it. Then we're going to artificially glorify the military and the police. Here's another hypertext link. You know, for those that have been to the stadium events, we're going to, you know, at the bread and circuses, we're going to give the population bread and circuses, and we're going to pay the NFL and the sports teams to propagandize their audience. And in the United States, they've been caught, and there's the blue hypertext link to get through to the scholarship, $53 million a year a couple of years ago, to pay for the flyovers and the flag worship ceremonies and all of the artificial glorification of the military, and the fact that they have to pay for it, that's how you know it's artificial.
Yeah.
And like, if it was real.
Yeah. The NFL has the salute to service component where they even make their own branded merchandise, NFL merchandise with camouflage embedded in it for all the teams. They go to all the teams to a green and black motif, the simulating camouflage, and you'll see coaches wearing it. You'll see certain players wearing maybe camouflage gloves or camouflage towels on their waist or things like that. So it is fully incorporated, as you said, into the bread and circuses. It looks, they want to make it look organic. Ooh, isn't it impressive that we have the flyover and everything? But when you notice these things, like somebody that can look at one of those paintings that with all the dots, all the fuzzy dots that don't mean anything, and you have to squint your eyes. And when you can finally see the elephant in that painting, you'll always be able to see the elephant.
Right. And
when you look for propaganda at something like an NFL game, you'll never be able to see anything but the propaganda. From that point on, you'll see the flyovers, you'll see the salute to service component. It just jumps out at you as like overt propaganda. And then you start to think, God, it's just here the whole time and I didn't recognize it, you know? So it's very devious the way they do it.
It is extremely devious. And once you realize they're paying for it, then you realize it's artificial and that they're running game on you. They all use political rallies, which is kind of like a old-timey religious revival where we're going to use the indoctrinated holy symbol, the flag, and slogans and propaganda and bus in people and you know, get them into the group think and the common prayer of statism. And then politician worship. And so they're leveraging knowledge of human psychology to exploit most, but not all humans' biological desire for a leader or a father figure. And so, and inclusion in the artificially created tribe and country. And everybody wants to be part of, oh, the US, USA, USA. Yeah. That's an artificially created tribe. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, people that live in Florida don't have a lot in common with people that live in Oklahoma, and people that live in Alaska don't have a lot in common with people that live in Hawaii. And the thing that is supposed to bind us together as a nation is freedom and liberty. And if you don't have that, you've got a bunch of intergenerational organized crime, you know, elements running game on the population. And that's what's, you know, I hate to be the one to break it to people, but that's what's been going on for a long time. They all use propaganda. And here's the link I was referring to earlier, CIA and the Department of Defense, direct involvement in 800 plus major movies, 1000 plus television shows that we know of. This is why the government is always the hero. That whether it's the CIA agent saving, you know, Tom Cruise saving the world as the CIA agent, whether it's Matthew Bourne, whether it's, you know, the president of the United States flying fighter planes to protect the world from invading aliens, we're going to make the government the hero. We're going to, product place the flag. We're going to use techniques like anchoring, and we're going to raise the population up literally to think it's legitimate, because every channel, every movie, it's legitimate that we get to rule you. It's legitimate. Here's how you act when you're in court. When you have to go into the government's rigged courts, mandatory monopoly courts, you're supposed to do this and be real, you know, quiet and everything like that. And they've got the nice judge that they, you know, the nice judge in Rhode Island that releases people out, and they're, you know, even putting it out in, you know, on these like little videos now where, oh, look at the nice judge that kind of lets people go. It's legitimate and he's so nice. And this is what the government courtroom is all about, is these nice judges. And it's just a complete scam.
Yeah. And not only does the government, when it comes to the Department of Defense and Hollywood, yes, they're involved in the Top Guns and the Armageddons and all the movies that you would expect them to be in. But I even made a list in the last book that of some of the movies that they also had to get script approval for. Nothing is so insignificant that the government doesn't want to have control over it. Ernest Saves Christmas with Ernest P. Byrne, you know, tell you Byrne, that guy, that script, Ernest Saves Christmas, had to get Department of Defense approval. So it's like they don't care. They want their hands. And by the way, if you agree to use, if you need the government, if you need the Department of Defense for your movie, say Top Gun or whatever, to use the aircraft carrier, the F-16s, or film on their bases, or whatever the case may be, the Department of Defense gets final script approval too.
Yes,
so correct. You cannot try, if you want to squeak through some components of, you know, where you want to paint the government in a different light, well, that's not going to happen.
And that's on the entertainment side, and it's a great segue because now the next technique is, you know, on the news and information side, the use of manufactured news and overt or surreptitious control of publishers, editors, and reporters to create an artificial reality. And so here's another hypertext link. The CIA's control of the press, which is widely known as Operation Mighty Mockingbird or the Mighty Wurlitzer, was exposed in the Church Committee hearings in 1976, where it came out publicly that the CIA, they had to admit it. They admitted it. You can go and see the films of the Church Committee hearing. They had hundreds and hundreds of reporters and editors on the payroll where they were, controlling, for the product placement of agency propaganda. That goes on today. And I've got other places in the book where I mention different reporters that have come out publicly and said, you know, that the CIA paid me to write stories for them, or the CIA gave me stories and told me just to put my name on it. And so that program is going on today, and you can take a look at some of the best known people, you know, have CIA background. Anderson Cooper on CIA and on CNN was a CIA intern. And so it's, you know, that program exists today, and that's part of this control of perception that I'm exposing with the book. They all use manufactured terrorism to unite the population against external enemies. They all use false flag events, manufactured intelligence, and lies to start wars. You know, they've been caught the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Kuwaiti babies tossed from incubators. I can't believe with the COVID, I can't believe anybody believes anything the government or the media would tell them about anything, given the track record of the government and the media lying to them about major, major things like getting us into war in Vietnam in the manufactured Gulf of Tonkin incident, or getting us into war in the Gulf War I with, you know, Kuwaiti babies tossed out of incubators, yeah, or weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I mean, I can't believe anything. I can't believe anybody believes anything the government tells them about anything.
I can't either. And I don't think this audience believes it. I think this audience is aware of that. But there's as we know, there are a whole lot of people out there in the world that will blindly just accept what comes out of their television simply because their default mechanism is set to trust rather than verify, or they also think somewhere along the lines of, well, listen, I mean, why would they lie to us? They have no incentive to lie to us. It's such a naive sort of point of view, but there are a lot of people that I wondered, and we've been talking about this in a variety of shows that we've done, but I wonder if after this whole COVID situation is we're a couple of years down the road from it, we might look back on this time, and it might be one of those 9/11-esque moments where it woke up a huge percentage, yeah, of the population because the government, yes, and the media overplayed their hand and did things that even the most brainwashed sheeple person can go, that just doesn't sound right to me. Like, and I hope that maybe that happens as a result of it. I'd prefer that we not even have to go through this COVID situation, but given that we're in it, one nice thing would be that if it had the exact opposite effect and it wound up waking up a ton of the population. But that'll require people to get real honest about the media, about who they are, what their actual goal is. And if people just assume, oh, they're trying to make a bunch of money. Yeah, but they can get subsidized whenever they need to by the government, but they have a role that is more important than making money, and that is shaping reality.
Now, you know, the analogy that I use is if you're stealing trillions and trillions of dollars a year in, you know, military industrial complex fraud, procurement fraud, no bid contracts, handing trillions of dollars to private banks and private companies through the bailouts and the stimulus, losing $6 billion in physical cash in Iraq. Where did we put that $6 billion?
Gotta be here somewhere.
Gotta be like selling $400,000 helmets for the F-35 or $14,000 toilet seats. Then the couple hundred billion you spend to control the media, that's chicken feed. That's mice nuts. And we on Wall Street, we used to call that mice nuts. I mean, it might as well be free. It might as well be free for them to control the media. They're stealing so much on the back end that it's just inconsequential, and it kind of pays for itself in advertising and so it's a control of perception system. And if you don't understand that it's going on, then you're not even in the game. That's kind of the bad news. The good news is that once you realize it is going on, and once you realize there is a man behind the curtain in the media, then it's really, really hard for you to get fooled again once you know how the magician does the trick. And so, you know, what I'm doing with the book is I'm making it easy for you to expose to your friends and your family and your loved ones how the magician does the trick, so they don't get scammed by the magician.
So funny you say that, because I've described this my awakening as after the financial collapse. I mean, I was aware of 9/11 well before that, but I went through the massive 2008 financial collapse, and I described people, they said, well, how did you wake up to the financial component of this? I said, I felt like I had been playing, you know, making money and then losing it all on the dot-com bust, being in the real estate industry, making money and then losing two houses during the crash in Las Vegas where I was living and working. I finally came to a determination that I felt like I was playing three card Monty and I was losing. Yeah. And I wanted to go around the table and say, all right, guys, I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm not interested in that. I just want to know how it works. I want to know where the ball goes. I want to know how you guys are doing this thing, because I'm tired of being the sucker who they lift up the cup and there's no ball. And, you know, and I was tired of that. So I got educated about that, simply because I felt like I was the sucker at the carnival trying, you know, with the ring toss, and I couldn't figure out how it was rigged. I knew it was rigged. I just didn't know how it was rigged. And it wasn't until I figured that out that everything started to make a whole lot more sense to me.
So, and you know, I'm an ex Wall Street guy. I used to work on the street and kind of, I was on the IT information side. I built networks for market data training for technology. And, in Wall Street, there's a expression called painting the tape, and they're sending out BS market signals. You know, they're going and they're buying off the guys that, you know, judge the quality of, you know, mortgage-backed securities to, you know, have them certified as AAA, even though they're not.
Right.
You know, they're using, you know, people like Cramer to tell you that certain stocks, you know, to pump up certain stocks and denigrate others. They're cheating using, you know, selling shares short that they don't even have possession of. They're lying and scamming the population. And then they're lobbying and bribing Congress to force everybody's retirement into 401ks and into the market, whether or not you want to be in the market or not, while simultaneously making it, you know, next to impossible to invest in certain asset classes like precious metals or cryptocurrencies that they don't want you to be in. Mm-hmm. And so, they're cheating. It's organized crime. They're lying. They've been caught lying. They've been caught censoring. They've been caught over and over and over again, to the point of, again, I can't believe anybody believes anything they say about anything.
Yeah.
Keeping going, all of these organizations, the Nazis, Soviets, East Germany, US, they all use political assassination of rivals, whistleblowers, and dissidents. They all use political temples dedicated to the state and its deities. So we're going to take the kids. It's a religion. We're going to take the kids in middle school. We're going to take them to Washington, D.C. on a free or price-supported, low-cost field trip. We're going to take them into the cathedral of the Capitol that looks like a Vatican for a reason. It's all oversized to make you feel small and insignificant, and it looks all legitimate, and everybody's in paid to be in suit and ties and look all sharp and everything like that. And we're going to take you into the temples. And we're going to show you the deities of Lincoln and Jefferson, and it's going to be very reverent and hushed, and people are going to, be without realizing it, indoctrinated into this pseudo-religionist statism, supporting a government and a system that is, de facto robbing them. They all use monopoly government fiat paper money that steals value secretly for the population. This is how they're able to, to buy up the media and buy up the politicians, because they have unlimited funds. It's like playing monopoly, where the banker is cheating and he's reaching in, under the table and stealing $500 bills. And at the end of the monopoly game, who are renters and debtors and who own everything on the board? And so the banker's cheating. They all spy on the citizenry, which is how you know they're good people.
Right.
They all use torture as policy, which is how you know they're good people. They all run secret prisons, for-profit prisons, concentration camps, and black sites, which is how you know they're good people. And so we're dealing with scum at the top. I can't believe anybody would work for the government knowing what you know about their practices with respect to torture or concentration camps, or it's just I can't understand. They all use conscription. They all have manufactured enemies. They all use paid political violence. And that's really the first part of the book. And that's just to give, your friends and your relatives, to see the pattern. It's a playbook. The U.S. is using the exact same techniques as the Nazis and the Soviets. And when they see it with their own eyes, boom, they come to that moment of insight. The next section of the book I call one pagers. And, here's one for those that are just listening. I'm showing a picture of dozens of examples of where the media has photographed the president or photoshopped the president or the political puppets, behind the Great Seal of the United States, or in front of a Christian cross, or pictures of Jesus, or something to make it seem like they've got a halo or a penumbra around their head. And, you can tell your friends and relatives that they're using, religious propaganda. They may or may not believe you. But if you stack three dozen examples in front of them, the human brain goes, that's a pattern. I never noticed it when they came by one at a time, but now that I can see it with my own eyes, I realize that they're running game on me. Mm-hmm. And so, that's the kind of the moment of insight. The rest of them, I break down in more detail the religion of statism, and I do it, kind of pictorially. And I've got some of the best, you can click on some of these and bring up this video, Statism, the Most Dangerous Religion, featuring Larkin Rose. And, I've got different, for people that like videos, I've got videos. For people that read books, I've got books on PDF. It's all, the entire book is backed up on an 8 or a 16 gig flash drive that we call the Liberator. I break down the secret history of the Constitution. This is one of my favorite memes in the entire book. At the Constitutional Convention, you've got Washington leaning over the table and saying, "Sign right there, where it says we give ourselves the power to make up rules and take the wealth of others." And it really just exposes that the idea of, a couple dozen people on a continent of 3 million going into a room and writing down on a fancy piece of paper that they alone get to make up rules for everybody and steal the wealth of others is kind of a dumb idea. And nobody would really think it was a good idea if they had not been indoctrinated with the idea in a mandatory government school before they were old enough to understand and question the logic and the morality of what they were being told. And then once you learn that it's, or once you, been taught that these were great men, George Washington could not tell a lie, chop down that you're just given these ridiculous stories. So that's the, you know, that's the nature of it. That one meme, you know, can cut through and really, you know, have an impact where, you know, maybe even as big as Lysander Spooner's The Constitution of No, you know, he had to write an entire book, The Constitution of No Authority. You know, I think you can cut it down even quicker with a meme and just make, you know, show how ridiculous the idea is. The shady history of the Pledge of Allegiance. We talked a little bit about that, and I give you the you know, the background. But here's some more photos of, you know, American schools, you know, children using the Nazi salute. And I've even got this video right here from 1925, where you can actually see kids doing the Nazi salute, and a video from 1925 called "The Vanishing American," which makes my point completely that, you know, these are Indians, these are Indian boarding kids. So after the government conquered the Indians, what's the first thing they did? They put them into mandatory Indian boarding schools. They took them away from their parents. They dressed them in, you know, the clothes of the white man, and they began teaching them that the government was legitimate, that the government was here to take them. And they, and in one generation, they took the once proud free Americans and they turned them into taxpayers and order followers. Yeah. And that's the way the scam works. And so that film, even in 1925, that film makes a hero out of Nofi, who was a tribal leader that was providing horses for the U.S. Army and gets other Indians to enlist and fight in World War One, a foreign war. And so they're like, this program, this partnership between Hollywood and the government has been going on for a very, very long time. And if you didn't understand that it was going on, then like I said, you're not even in the game.
Yeah.
I break down the hidden curriculum of the government school system. I break down private Federal Reserve and the theft of fractional reserve banking. But the really, this is the one, I'm just going to go through a couple more of these and then we're going to have to kind of wrap it up for on time. Yeah. But this is the one that I was talking about, and it is, this is the media ownership chart. It's only a fraction of the media ownership chart. I break it down in kind of more detail in a recent interview I did with James Corbett called How to Present Info for Visual Learners, but I'll give your audience the abbreviated version right now. And that, you know, here we've got News Corp. You can click on this link right here and you can, you know, open up the whole thing and take a look at the entire chart. But, you know, this is News Corp, which is Fox News. And then a lot of people don't realize that they own 175 newspapers and magazines and internet properties and book publishing companies and television production and movie production and television distribution and satellite networks. And then here's just, you know, another, you know, here's Disney, and they own ABC News, and they own theme parks, and they own magazines, and they own internet properties, and they own film production and television production and distribution. And so, again, you know, you can try and talk to your relatives and explain that six companies are, controlling hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries, and they may or not believe you, but you show them this media ownership chart and they're like, boom, just like that. Okay. I did not know that was going on. Now I know that that's going on. Now my worldview of how, you know, I interact with the media is now changed forever. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You're going to be suspicious of anything that comes across any of these controlled platforms from now on and forevermore. And that is the second one. Now the next visualization is one done by, in 2017, by Swiss Propaganda Research. Mm-hmm. And that's showing how three organizations, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission have maneuvered their members into dozens and dozens of ostensibly unconnected, unaffiliated media operations to be able to control perception across dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media operations. But it's not until you make what was invisible now visible through visualization and you realize how all of these people are connected. And by the way, those three organizations, Bilderberg, Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission, Jeffrey Epstein was a member of all three organizations. And Ghislaine Maxwell, her father, Robert Maxwell, who was a known Mossad agent and who six different heads of the, you know, the Israeli secret police attended his funeral. He's running a blackmail operation known in Washington, D.C. as a brownstone operation, where you take politicians and prominent individuals and even, you know, royalty, and you you take them and you get them drunk and maybe slip them a roofie, throw them into a room with little girls, little boys, take some photographs, and now you can blackmail and control these individuals. And so we're controlling, you know, a lot of these media personalities, or we're controlling these politicians, or we're controlling the British royal family, because we're willing to run a large scale blackmail operation where we're scooping people up Jeffrey Epstein style. He should be the poster boy for Bilderberg Council on Foreign Relations and trilateral mission. But it's not until you see how they're all connected that you understand how they're, how the magician is doing the trick. Two more, and then we'll I'm going to have to wrap it up. I apologize. This one is from 2010. It was put out by an organization called the Fund to Restore an Educated Electorate. And it shows, and this is only a portion of it again, but it shows how the exact same three organizations, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg, and Trilateral Commission, it's not just the media. It's the presidency. It's the vice presidency. It's the Council of Economic Advisors. It's the cabinet. It's the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI, the Export-Import Bank, major money center banks, the, you know, dozens and dozens of university presidents, you know, every major piece of political power going back decades through Republican. And so this chart goes back decades, and every single one of these through Republican administrations and Democratic administrations, all of these major positions of power have all been held by a member of one of these three organizations. This is the deep state, but it's organized crime. Use the term organized crime, and now what you're seeing makes complete control. This is how they've been controlling perception. I'll just tease the audience with some other, you know, of the visualizations in the book as I kind of like go by, and I'm going to just go to, you know, just one more. And these are some Venn diagrams done by Geek USA, and in the middle of the Venn, there is the name of the person. And then on the left-hand side of the Venn is their position or former position in the federal government. And then on the right-hand side of the Venn is their position or former position at Amazon or Goldman Sachs or Monsanto or Big Pharma or Big Oil or JP Morgan Chase or Boeing or the news media. And so they're going, these organizations that are getting trillions of dollars, being handed trillions of dollars from the federal government and bailouts and stimulus and $14,000 toilet seats and $400,000 helmets. And, you know, they're in on it together. They're going in and out of the federal government, handing their former employers trillions of dollars. And now all of a sudden, like, you probably didn't know that this revolving door was going on, where they're going in and out of government and private industry. But then once you do it, it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. And so the rest of the book is memes, and I've got a lot of solutions. And the final thing I'll say is, you know, I've got the basics about, you know, voluntarism, and the big secret is that the good news is that we don't need government. Everything the government does would be better done by the free market or mutual aid societies or real charities. You're still going to have armed protective services, but it's going to be ADT and Brinks and West Tech, you know, competing to be your, you know, private, you know, security company. And when, you know, you'll still have 911, but when the guy shows up, he doesn't have rights that you don't have. He can't arrest you for having a poker game or smoking a plant that they don't like, or you know, running road piracy on the highway. He's only got the exact same rights that you do. So he can, because you have the right to protect your life, liberty, and property, you can delegate that right to a security agent. But because you don't have the right to tell your neighbor what habit he could have or whether or not he can gamble or whatever it is, you know, that security guard can't use violence on overwhelmingly peaceful people to try and engineer society for the government, or, you know, make the world the way that you know, the government thinks it ought to be, or raise revenue on your friends and relatives. He can only protect you, which is exactly what you want the police doing. And so there's still going to be air traffic control. Canada has already privatized their air traffic control system. There's still going to be roads. But if Walmart wants to build a store, you know, or somebody wants to build a shopping mall or somewhere, they're going to have to build and maintain the road to that, which they're glad to do because they want you to come and spend money with them. And if a property developer wants to build a, you know, a housing development, they're going to build the road so you can get to your house. And because the homeowners association is going to have a, you know, an eagle eye on every single cent that is spent repairing that road. And they're going to, you know, it's going to be way more diverse than, you know, trying to do the roads from Washington, D.C. or from, some other state capital. It's going to be a lot cheaper. They're going to last a lot longer. It's going to be a higher quality. And there's all of these market mechanisms that are going to give the population everything they want out of government without the fraud and the deception and the indoctrination and everything else. And so that's what my message is. You can get the book, government-scam.com. You can download a preview copy of the book that has, you know, a lot of the pages taken out just to give you, you know, take a look and see whether you want to spend your money. But like, you know, you can, you know, verify all of it with a 8 or 16 gigabit flash drive called the Liberator, government-scam.com.
I told you guys the book was awesome. I told you. I told you. I told you this was going to be awesome. I know you believe me. Check out the book. Go to the website. Look, also, on top of all this, you're supporting people that are doing the right things. You know, we're talking about some very powerful messages here. These are important things that we've got to get a hold of, get a handle on if we're gonna change the world. Etienne de la Boetie Squared right here, everybody. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I'm going to put all the links in the description, but for those that are looking for a gift for your friends and family, I certainly would suggest checking out this book. And if you like this episode, please make sure to share it wherever you can, because the algorithms, they don't like us, but that's okay. We don't like them back. Thanks, everybody. Take care.